Good morning. Good morning. We're in for a real treat this morning with our speaker, Brad Anderson. Brad is a graduate of the of North Carolina State University, holds his BA in political science and government. For over two decades, Brad has been very involved in campaigns and bipartisan causes for the last couple of decades. And since 2004, he's managed local, national, and international campaigns and assisted corporations and nonprofits in various ways to enhance their bottom line. And he's got just an incredible background and a lot of experience. And I want to share some of the highlights of some of the things he's been doing over his career. With his background in research and communications, he served as former Iowa Governor Chet Culver's communications director from 2006 to 2008. And during that time, I was very involved in leading a number of causes ranging from a bond referendum to build the new public safety center in Johnston to Iowa's water and land legacy, which was a state constitutional amendment to better protect our waterways and our soil. In 2012, he served as the Iowa State Director for President Barack Obama's re-election campaign, with incredible success winning the state and with significant voter turnout that exceeded the historic levels in 2008. From there, in 2015, Brad led bipartisan efforts to address the issue of money in politics, working with clients to strengthen skills of America's workforce. And he also led Above and Beyond Cancer, which is an Iowa-based cancer survivorship nonprofit organization that many of you are probably aware of. In 2016, Brad went on and co-founded Red America, Blue America Research, also known as RABA Research, which is a bipartisan polling firm aimed at providing fair, accurate, and non-biased polling to political, corporate, and nonprofit clients. And most recently, in June of last year, Brad moved in to head up the State of Iowa AARP organization. Brad is married, has a couple of kids, and a dog, Gracie Carmel, I believe, yeah. Yes. And so I think Brad is a return speaker. He was here about 5 years ago. And so join me in welcoming Brad Anderson.
All right. Thank you, Kevin. So thank you for the opportunity to be here. Kevin, by the way, is the first person I've ever run into that is fighting to get into AARP. And he is a member, but he's got some special membership because he's not quite at eligibility age. So thank you for being a member of AARP. So actually, this is my second time to this breakfast, and it is... It's great to be here. The first time I came here, I had just returned from Iraqi Kurdistan, and I had been there for about 4 or 5 months working on a parliamentary election, and I came back and I talked about the way election security in Iraq and protecting the right to vote and how that compares to what we were dealing with here in Iowa. And needless to say, my talk this morning is gonna be a little different. But I think the topic is just as important. So disrupt aging is something that I have been really passionate about for a while, and it's really, really great to be here. And I notice, you know, there are people that qualify for AARP, there are people that don't in this room, but this topic applies to every single person on the planet. So, so it is great to be here with you today. Now, I want to see here if this is going to work. It might. Let's see. There we go. Okay, so one question I'd like to start off with, and again, I'm new to AARP, so I started in June of last year, but what is the first thing you think about when you hear the word aging? Throw out some words.
Old.
Old, Matt, okay. Forgetful. Who else?
Lonely.
There we go. So.
Grumpy.
Grumpy.
Aren't there another seven of those?
Okay. Okay, I think you're getting the point. So that's kind of the frame, right? And that falls along the lines of what we heard just now. So typically when people think about aging, it really is kind of in this negative, grumpy frame, you know? And it's really, really interesting when you think about the way people think about aging and literally the word aging, yet you compare it to the way people are aging, and it's night and day from how we think about it to how we're doing it. And so the thing I want to talk about a little bit today is just the way people are aging or changing, and this issue is something that affects us all. So why AARP? If you had told me last year that I would be the state director at this time, the state director for AARP, I would have thought, God, you know, I was doing political consulting. I had a client above and beyond cancer that was mentioned. And I knew AARP, I respected AARP, and I loved some of the people that were working at AARP because I didn't know everybody, but the ones I did know, they were great. But I just didn't think myself about applying for that job because I was working for, like I said, Above and Beyond Cancer. Now, I don't know how much you guys know about Above and Beyond Cancer, but Above and Beyond Cancer is a cancer survivorship organization that is based here in Des Moines. And the mission of Above and Beyond is to elevate the lives of those touched by cancer to create a healthier world. And it was founded by the guy on the left there, Dr. Richard Deming. And I'm sure a lot of people in this room know Dr. Deming. He's kind of a legend in Central Iowa. And, you know, for me, as I was the executive director, in addition to some of the other clients I had, and for me, Above and Beyond affected me in a way that was different than most because, to me, the biggest takeaway was our demographic was in the 50s, 60s, and 70s primarily, and the way people were approaching their 50s and 60s and 70s and changing their lives after cancer diagnosis was just remarkable. It was remarkable because they had cancer, but it was remarkable also because they were so much older than I was accustomed to when people make these big life changes. And so the guy on the right, his name is Gail. When he was 60, he had never even run a 5K. And he was overweight, he was out of shape, and he was diagnosed with prostate cancer. It came back at about 62. By his mid-60s, he had started running 5Ks, thanks to Dr. Deming. Dr. Deming was his radiation oncologist. This is a picture of him at 66. He had just finished his first Ironman. And think about that for a second. He had never even run a 5K when he was 60. And at 66, he's finishing his first Ironman. I don't know if you guys even know what an Ironman is or how much. It is, you know, 100-mile bike ride, a marathon, and like a 2.5-3-mile swim or something. I don't really know either. I couldn't even imagine doing it. But it is just a remarkable feat. In January of 2017, we took 40 cancer survivors to the top of Mount Kilimanjaro. And the guy on the right there is Reverend Richard. So Reverend Richard joined us, and Reverend Richard is the guy in the Santa Claus underpants over his hiking gear, and he has incurable cancer, and he is not a mountain climber, and he's 65 years old. And again, he's doing this new thing with incurable cancer, and he's doing it at 65. So at Above and Beyond, we were growing, and one of the things we were looking for was a development director. And so I went on Indeed.com, and I was just trying to cut and paste a job description for development director and put it into what we were looking for, and I saw that the AARP, Kent Sovereign, was leaving AARP, and they were looking for a new state director. And again, I had known folks that worked at AARP and really, really liked and respected them and respected the organization. So then I got this book from our CEO and I started reading it, and it's I want you to pay attention to this right here, because I was struck by this. On page 7 it says, we found that the public largely holds an aspirational model of aging. People want to be self-sufficient, stay active, build intimacy with family and friends, and just have fun. But they're being held back because of the dominant cultural view of aging as a process of deterioration, dependency, reduced potential, family dispersal, and digital incompetence.
Digital incompetence
is kind of piling on, but it's true. I mean, when I read that, I was like, that is exactly what I was experiencing in my 3 years at Above and Beyond. Because we think of aging as this thing that is terrible, but when we watch people do it, they're doing it completely differently than I remember it. In addition to that, I looked into AARP, 367,000 members in the state of Iowa. I mean, we are hands down the largest organization in the state. If you compare it to, for example, Farm Bureau has about 150,000 members in Iowa, 367,000 members in Iowa. So the idea of taking this message of disrupt aging and trying to impact 367,000 members was really, really appealing to me. So I applied for the state director job, and after about a dozen interviews, they finally agreed to hire me, and here I am. So first, when we talk a little bit about aging in the state of Iowa, we have to get a sense of what is going on, right? It's one thing to look around and say, oh, Iowa's getting older. But it's another thing to see it graphically. And so I'm going to go through these slides, and I'm going to blow your minds here. And if you remember nothing else from this presentation, remember what you're seeing right here, because it is, to me, very, very powerful. Median age of 43. Look, there's one county in 1980, and that's Wayne County. You see Wayne right down there. 1990, you see median age of 43. There are three down there, one up there. Then you go to 2000, and it grows by quite a bit in just 20 years. In 30 years, look at that. Look at the state of Iowa and how much the state of Iowa has changed in just 30 years. Now, we don't have the 2020 data yet, but you can just imagine it's not going to get less dark. Right? I mean, the state of Iowa is growing older, and we can't keep burying our head in the sand about what we do about it. So, how about this? This is one of the first slides I saw at AARP. I have two kids, one 11, one and 13. One of them is going to be 100 years old. I mean, according to the data. That, to me, is also kind of mind-blowing. One out of every two kids today that is 10 years old is going to live to be 100. And someone, by the way, who's just born is going to live to be 150. Guaranteed. For the first time in history, you look here, right there, that is about 2032, I believe. Yeah. For the first time in U.S. history, we're going to have more people who are 65 than people who are 18 years old. That is remarkable when you think about it. So here's the reality. You can look at that and say, oh my God, we have, you know, an impending crisis on our hands, right? We can look at it and say, some people refer to it as the silver tsunami. Whatever good happened from a tsunami, right? Nothing. So tsunamis are bad. I don't like that frame. I don't buy that frame. And I think if we are proactive about how we approach what is happening in Iowa, what is happening in the United States, we can actually do some pretty good things. So we're staying healthier longer. We're taking care of our children, friends, parents. and we're working, planning, and creating. So we're healthier, we're caregivers, and we are workers, AARP members, 50 plus. So let's look at this healthier thing, because this is important too. In 10 years, we added 2 years after the age of 67 to living free of disabilities. Now that may seem somewhat insignificant, but think about it. 2 years added in just a 10-year window, and that's gonna continue to improve as medicine improves. So we are healthier. We are caregivers, 317,000 caregivers in the state of Iowa, $3.8 billion in unpaid care generated from the caregiving. We are working. Look at this slide. Take a very good look at this slide, because this is remarkable. In 1994, the 55 plus in the workforce was the smallest number percentage-wise of people in the workforce. By 2024, it is not only the largest, it is the only demographic that is growing in the workforce. That is from the Bureau of Labor Statistics. So our workforce is getting older. And again, I believe, and a lot of people believe, you could view that as a good thing and take advantage of the experience and what older workers bring to the table. And we should. We'll talk about that. But as we continue to get older, our beliefs in the way we approach aging, like we talked about earlier, just remains a little outdated. So this is the Trace McCords. These are three McCords. All of our middle names are McCord. That's my dad, that's me, and that's Will, my son. And my dad is a personal hero of mine. So he is one of these guys. He's 74 years old, and he started a company called Successories back in the day. I don't know how, he's a serial entrepreneur. Successories is a company where, I don't know if you remember, you see posters with eagles and it says, attitude is everything. A poster of a sailboat, you can't adjust the wind, but you can't adjust the sails. Miss 100% of the shots you never take. I heard this growing up all throughout my life, but he invented that company, right? And invented putting pictures with quotes on posters, so you're welcome. After leaving Successories, he started another company called Simple Truths, which is gift books. They're small square gift books that you give to clients and things. Also did really well. Like I said, he's 74. In March, he is going to roll out yet another company called Inspire Kindness. And Inspire Kindness, the whole goal is to try and convince companies through a program that you can actually be more profitable the kinder you are internally and externally. And he believes you need more kindness in this world, right? At 74, he is not, he doesn't really need a job, but he's just passionate about it. I mean, we saw him the other month, about a month ago, and he just could not stop talking about this company that he wanted to start. And that is what I'm talking about, the way people are aging or changing. I remember growing up, and I lived with my mom and my stepdad, and my aunt was in the basement, and they all turned 40, and it was all black balloons, and it was all like prune juice, I remember it was a big thing. Everyone got like a thing of prune juice, and it was just, and people just don't do that anymore, right, when they turn 40. It just, it feels different, and I think my dad is living proof, along with Gail, and along with Reverend Richard, and along with a lot of other people I've met along the way, that we're doing it differently. So, challenge outdated beliefs, spark solutions, so more people can choose how they live and age, and then opportunities will soon seem obvious. Here's one that I cannot stress enough. 51 cents of every dollar is spent by those over 50 years old. 51 cents. So I know all this attention is on millennials, right? How do we market to millennials? How do we get millennials to buy our stuff? How do we attract millennials to our towns? But you know, Charles City called me a couple months ago And they said, we're interested in how we can make, how we can market Charles City as a place to retire. Like, how can we make Charles City, Iowa, which is an awesome town, by the way, in Northeast Iowa, how can we make Charles City a place where people want to come and retire? Because they knew, and Jim Erb, who is an awesome mayor, very innovative guy, knew this simple fact. If you market and appeal to those over 50 plus, you are going to get rewarded financially. It makes sense. Here's the workforce. If you look at the workforce under 55 and compared to those over 55, employee engagement by age, employees are more engaged, employees are more motivated after the age of 55. And here's one that's a big deal right now because of the fact that we have such low unemployment rates, which is great news, right? In the state of Iowa, I think in Des Moines, we're at full employment, which I had never even heard that term until 2 years ago. And employee turnover is a very big issue. Trying to find folks to work is a very big issue for companies. Look at the difference in, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, between turnover rates, 49% for workers under 50, but for those folks over 50, the turnover rate is only 29%. So those are all factors that employers should look at and say, yeah, the workforce is getting older, but it's not a bad thing. Let's look for some of these folks and bring them into our fold. So now I want to talk a little bit about what AARP is doing. So as I said, I started in June, so I am relatively new, and my approach is a little different than my predecessor's approach. So the nice thing about it being at AARP is at the state level, you have a lot of autonomy to do pretty much, you know, whatever you want. I don't know if this recorded? It is. we can do whatever we want. We'll see if anyone figures that out. But we can, and AARP is very good about providing resources to allow us to do whatever we want. And so my Kent, who does anyone know Kent? Kent Sovereign?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, everyone knows Kent. Perfect. Kent is an awesome guy, and he comes very much from a chamber background and was awesome at bringing people together, bringing coalitions together. My what drives me is a little different. It's more on the advocacy side and campaigns and elections, as was mentioned before. One of the things that we are very dedicated to is how do we make communities more livable? And what that means, it ranges from a variety of things. How do we make our streets safer? How do we have more sidewalks? How do we address affordable housing? All these great issues that are... So this is a press conference we did at the second most dangerous intersection in Des Moines, only because the first most dangerous intersection is too dangerous to hold a press conference. So we did it at the second most dangerous press conference or intersection. And the reason we held that press conference there is because we wanted to push Move DSM. Move DSM is the city of Des Moines. It's the first multimodal 25-year transportation plan in the history of Des Moines. And what that does is basically it, you know, encourages, it provides guidelines to shrink the size of streets, because if you shrink the size of the lanes, cars will go slower, add more sidewalks, add things like multimodal transportation lanes, bike lanes, things like that. But we had this great plan. It just wasn't passed by the council yet for reasons that I don't even pretend to understand. And so we had this press conference right there and said, it's time to pass Move DSM and start moving on it. And I'm proud to say about a month later, it passed unanimously after 6 months of just kind of sitting there. And so that's the kind of impact that I like at AARP, because we can get out there and we can use our 367,000 members to be a voice. I will say one of the other things that we're pushing very strongly now is voting in support of the local option sales tax. We did not push it at the county level, but now it's in the city of Des Moines, and we believe that it needs to get passed, because if you want things like Move DSM, you need to have the resources, and without passing the local option sales tax, we're not going to have the resources. So I encourage everyone to vote yes on Move DSM, or on local option sales tax. The other thing we do is HomeFit. So Again, people are getting older, as I mentioned. There are very simple things that you can do. We have presenters all over the state that go around and they present to groups, Rotary clubs and that thing, on the simple ideas on how you can make your home more age-friendly. I just, for example, last week, I needed to get a new doorknob, and we had one of these circular ones, and so I got a lever because I know something about home fit, and I know, you know, sometimes we have older folks in our house. Maybe I will die in that house, and who knows, right? But why not, while you're changing it, just make this one simple move, get a lever, and everybody's happy, right? If you're 8 or you're 80, you can use the lever. The other thing we're doing is urging the state legislature to pass what's known as the CARE Act. So we talked about caregivers. The CARE Act is a bill. It's very simple. There's no dollar amount to it. Basically what it does is it requires hospitals to provide caregivers the information they need to care for their loved ones. How to clean wounds, what rooms they're going to go from one place to the next, even getting the name of the designated caregiver when someone goes in the hospital. These are very simple things. We are one of only 13 states that doesn't have a CARE Act or something like it. And so we've been working on it for 4 years. I'm glad to say that that Republican Governor Kim Reynolds is supporting it. We have Democrats that are supporting it. And so we believe this year is the year we're going to get it done. I'm optimistic, and once we do, I think it's going to be really, really good for Iowa caregivers. Also, we do things like we've got something coming up on February 12th, Work for Yourself at 50. If you want to be an entrepreneur, if you want to invent the next accessories or whatever you want to invent, we have a whole session on how to do it and how to do it at a later age for those who are interested. Because again, we know people are older in the workforce, and that includes entrepreneurs. So we want to give them the tools as AARP on how to be successful. And then lastly, we have all these different materials. I mentioned the book. Just if you go to our website or just Google AARP Disrupt Aging, you're just going to find a ton of information. And so that's really it. And again, the message is very simple. Don't ignore the fact that we're getting older, and embrace it, because a lot of good things can happen. Think about Charles City. Think about how to be proactive, and I think our communities will grow stronger, and I think as a state, we'll be stronger as well. So thank you very much for the opportunity. My second visit, I appreciate it. And I don't know, am I out of time, I assume, or do we have? Okay, yeah, so if there are any questions, yes, John.
Greg, what are the two most dangerous intersections in Des Moines?
The most dangerous intersection, so that's the one, that dangerous intersection was right in front of the fairgrounds. I will say, and I just want to go back real quick.
The university,
then. Yep. Yeah, so it was, you know where that Burger King is?
Yeah.
Wait a minute. So I want to point this out, because this is hilarious. So there are no crosswalks. There are no crosswalks. Yet people try and get from the Quick Trip, which is right there, to the Burger King that is right there. So you see Kent right here? Kent was late to the press conference. And so he was trying to, like, go from here to there. Again, there are no crosswalks or walk signs or anything. And cars are blazing fast because the lanes are so giant. And he's in this trench coat, and all of the cameras were filming him because he was, and of course he's theatrical anyway, so Kent is like stumbling around and like trying to get out, and and it's classic Kent, like he knows how to play it up and ham it up for the cameras, and he finally made it over, and the guy with KCCI was like, oh my God, that is solid gold, can he go do that again? So that's the second most dangerous intersection. The first one is, it's second near Mercy. It's second, and I forget where.
Second
we.
University and second.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, that's it. That's the one where we have, and how you measure dangerous is number of accidents and fatalities. And so But again, you know, these are easy fixes. And if we pass the local option sales tax, this intersection will completely change. I'm convinced of that. So, yes?
So I am a member, but I've not really looked at the website much. And we're dealing with my mother aging, trying to keep her as long as possible. Are there resources on there? Because we put, you know, the Life Alert at the cellular ones because she likes to go out for walks. We've got cameras in certain places in the house where she'd be likely to fall. Are there other resources out there on the website that we can use?
Yeah. Definitely. So aging in place is one of our biggest issues. And it's something that more and more people, again, that's exactly actually goes to this idea of people aging differently. So I think, you know, more and more people want to stay at home rather than moving to retirement homes and that kind of thing, which is great. And I don't begrudge one decision or another. But if you go on our website and or do some research around aging in place, that's the term that you should use. We've got a ton of resources. And if not, I'll give you a card, too. And if you shoot me an email, I can connect you also with resources. Because the truth is, too, there are a lot of services out there that are free that can help people live in their homes longer. So. And that's what AARP likes to do. So when it comes to like Medicare, for example, and figuring out how to navigate Medicare, one of the things I didn't realize is for Medicare, you should renegotiate your terms if you do a Medicare Advantage program every year, because every year there's a better deal out there. And I thought you just pick a plan and go with it for the rest of your life. But no, they encourage negotiate every year because you can save a lot of money by doing so. Social Security, when do you take it? Do you take it at 67? Do you take it at 70? There's a giant difference in the amount you get between those two decisions. It's a huge decision. AARP helps you with all that. It's aging in place. If we don't have the resources, we connect you with those people that do. But that's what we're here for. So we've got a lot of great folks that can help. Any other questions? Yeah. No, so 19th and 20th is lobby day. Yeah. So 19th and 20th is our lobby day. No, we're 100% focused right now on the CARE Act. And the reason we have to be focused this year is because we, like I said, we've been doing this for 4 years, and it is a very big deal, and it impacts a large number of our members. And so, you know, it's not that we're opposed, right? Right.
And she moved some of her furniture into my house. He wants that back. There are states like Illinois that says when a family member gets to cares for a parent,
yeah,
just like we have spousal, you know, if you get inherited portion, you can claim by right of spouse. Illinois has a law that says, hey, if you are a family member or cared, we don't care what the will says. We're going to make a provision so that caregiver can assert a claim. Will you now describe the Family Care Act?
So those are different issues. So guardianship and wills and.
But I want you to describe
the CARE Act. So here's the CARE Act. The CARE Act is very simple. The CARE Act requires hospitals to give caregivers the information they need when they release a patient. So right now, believe it or not, we did a survey in the state of Iowa. About 50% of people have had an experience where someone, their loved one, was released from a hospital and they had no idea how to treat them. Now, we're not saying this is, we're not blaming anyone for this, right? There is no law that says you currently have to provide that information. Now, to the hospital's credit, there are a lot of hospitals that do this automatically. Unfortunately, there are some that don't. So what we're saying is you have to provide that information. You have to let people know when they're going from the second floor to the first floor in a hospital, because oftentimes people show up and they have no idea, and it's really hard to figure out where the person they're caring for is. Thirdly, you have to take the name of that caregiver. Again, you know, these seem like logical things that should be happening. And for the most part, they are in Iowa, but there's still a percentage that we view as too high where it is not happening. Therefore, we're saying we need to regulate it. We need a law in place. It doesn't cost anything. In fact, it saves money in the long run because people know how to treat wounds, therefore they're not readmitted. So that's what the CARE Act does. I'm not going to fault it for being a simple bill. I don't mind, actually, simple legislation. I know former Senator Matt McCoy would probably agree with that. Some of this stuff gets really complicated. This one's not. We just need to get it done. So and as AARP, we just need to focus, right? There are a lot of issues out there that we care deeply about. One of them, for example, is contractor fraud. I don't know if you've read the Register, but there are these contractors that run around and rip people off, and they're not required to be bonded. So if they rip someone off, there's no way to get restitution. And all these other states, all the surrounding states, have laws on the books that require them to be bonded. But not here in Iowa. Contractor fraud is something that we care about. We're lobbying in favor of it. We're helping the Attorney General's office get it passed. But for lobby day, it's all in on CARE Act. Let's get that done and let's move on to the next thing. So, and I will say one of the big things on the horizon, just so you know and be on the lookout, is prescription drug costs. AARP is going to launch a massive effort to lower prescription drug costs because it's something that needs to get done. Yes?
I just turned 60.
Congratulations. All right.
I'm living at a place called Pittsburgh Place, and the thing, it sounds very charming for older people, but the thing that I find in the dining room, there are those of us who can walk and get in there, and then there are all those people that are being pushed on wheelchairs and et cetera. It makes me feel uncomfortable at mealtime even. There's just a whole bunch of people that are being, and I don't know if they necessarily need to be pushed, but there's something just kind of strange about how it all feels.
The fact that they're being pushed?
Yeah.
Well.
I know they have to get there, but.
I worked at a retirement home in high school called Friendship Village in Dublin, Ohio. To me, it's interesting because it was the same scenario. There were healthier, you know, people, and there were folks that were not healthy, and they were all together. I really loved it. I worked there for a long time. I don't know that you can regulate something like that or that we would get involved, but I know exactly what you're talking about, though.
I feel bad for the people that are being pushed around all over the place.
Yeah.
Off the room and backed out again all day long.
Well, at Bitford Place, if you ever want us to come in and check things out, or if you ever want us to come in and do a presentation of any kind, we love doing, so we have a fraud watch program too to protect older folks from fraud. I don't know if anyone has gotten any scam phone calls. I know I get 7 a day. And so AARP is involved also in making sure. And so what we do is we go to Rotary clubs, retirement homes, all over the state, and we have this network of fraud watch presenters. The amazing thing about AARP is just it's almost crazy, this membership base, and I am not accustomed to it. I mean, I worked for the Obama campaign. I know about good email lists. We put out an email for volunteers, and the amount of folks that we have. We only have 5 staff. I don't know if you guys know that. We only have 5 staff, but we have hundreds of volunteers all over the state, and it is just amazing the reach that we can get with our volunteers. And so it's inspiring. Any other questions? Well, again, thank you all very much for the opportunity to be here.
It's a tradition to give our speakers a copy of the Gay Men's Chorus.
Awesome. Thank you. Yeah, appreciate it.
So, yeah, that was a very, very interesting speech, Brad. AARP does some amazing things. Aging is inevitable. I always say, well, it's better than the alternative, but you have to age, and hopefully you age well, and we sometimes need all the help we can get. AARP has a lot of power with 367,000 people to advocate for programs that can help people as they age. So we appreciate your work that you're doing, and so hopefully we won't require too many services as we get older. Hopefully we'll be healthier. So that's all I have for now. Please join us next month, and remember the events coming up, the scholarship donor reception on the 15th. And remember to donate too. Yes, thank you.